Welcome to the Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest sermon in our current teaching series, All Jesus Asks.
Oh God, we pray that you would help us this morning to fix our eyes on Jesus. God, we're here today because we're exploring faith, or we're trying to strengthen our faith, we're trying to live out our faith, and we pray, God, that the time spent in your word today, the time spent in your word with an open heart, with the grace of your spirit and the company of these Christian brothers and sisters, we pray that that time in the scriptures would speak to us in a new way and strengthen us, remind us in our faith. Help us to honor you, to know you, and to live with integrity. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to jump right into Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And this is a pretty well-known story from the Gospels. It's got some kind of weird elements to it. I think probably most of the time it gets preached or taught, it gets sort of overly simplified. There's some good things to wrestle with in this story. But let's just read it through, and then we'll see what we can learn from it together. Starting in verse 22, it says, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got in a boat and they set out. And as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A squall came down." A squall means just sort of an unexpected and violent storm. Kind of a just whoosh, there it came. It snuck up on them. "A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger." Anybody ever been in a boat in great danger before? Have you ever? Anybody? Come on, it's the land of 10,000 lakes and nobody's been in a boat in danger. Wow. I have. An orange boat, was it with a guy named Dave up in, okay, yeah. Anytime you're in a boat with me, it's dangerous, that's right. But at one time I was up on Lake Mille Lacs, and Lake Mille Lacs is a big lake. It's not a deep lake, but it's a big lake. But a storm can come up and get you pretty quick on that lake as well. In fact, Lake Mille Lacs is kind of like the Sea of Galilee in some respects, you know. But one time I was with a friend, and it was, the waves were high, and I mean the pounding, and we were driving. My oldest son was turned green and threw up. He leaned overboard. I thought we were going to lose him, and it was kind of a scary moment, you know. And Mike, the guy driving the boat, he said, "It's not a deep lake." So I was reassured to know we would drown in 12 feet of water, and at least we're going to drown in shallow water that day. But anyway, the boat was being swamped. They were in great danger. And the disciples went and woke up Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" Jesus asked his disciples. And in fear and amazement, they asked one another. Notice they didn't answer the question. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this guy? Who is this man who has authority over the winds and the water?" I mean, authority where they obey him. Now, as I said, I think this story gets oversimplified, but it's dangerous to oversimplify the story. Because what's the moral? I mean, if you tried to turn it into a moralistic story, and the moral of the story is, never get on a boat unless Jesus is with you. Or make sure Jesus had a really good nap before you take him out in a boat. I don't know what the, you know, we get overly simplified, although I have to say one of the best sermons I ever preached on this text, I preached years and years ago in Norfolk, Nebraska. It was a very simple sermon. I was sick with pneumonia at the time and couldn't go to church one morning. And two of our children, we had two at that time, Tyler and Paige. And they were just little guys at the time. And I don't know if they had a little temperature or a cough or something, but Dad was going to be staying home from church. And so they weren't feeling well enough. They needed to stay home too. And so Sherry said, well, I'll go to church and I'll just, will you be okay here with the boys? And I said, sure. Yeah. So, and you got to understand, at our house, just because you didn't go to church doesn't mean you get out of church. Because, I mean, we got grape juice and crackers. We can do communion at our house. I mean, we got a preacher at our house. You're not just, if you don't want a sermon, you better stay out of the house where the preacher lives. And so I thought, well, you know, we're home. I'm home with the two little boys, but we'll have a little Bible lesson this morning. We'll have our own little church this morning. And miraculously, after Mom went to church, even though the kids didn't feel well enough to go, they suddenly recovered in amazing ways and were jumping around the furniture and running around. And I was sitting there dying in the recliner chair. And I caught myself saying, sit down, be quiet, sit down, be quiet. And all of a sudden I thought, that reminds me of a Bible story. I said, come here, kids, we're going to have a Bible lesson today. And I gathered them up with me, one on each arm of the chair, and I got out my Bible. And I don't know if it was Luke 8 or Mark 4, but I got the story of Jesus calming the sea. And I said, okay, here, we read the story, and then I said, okay, here's what we're going to do, Tyler. And by the way, if you ask my kids this, they remember this. I said, Tyler, your job is you're going to be the wind. And Paige, you're going to be the waves. And when I say go, we're going to have a squall. We're going to have a storm. And I mean, it's got to be a raging storm. So go. And they'd run all over. They'd jump all over. Tyler come up in my face, and they'd be running all over, and I'm sitting there going, and then at one point, I would gather up my strength, and I would stand up in front of the recliner chair, and I would go, peace, because I was Jesus in the recliner boat. Peace, be still, and I told them, you know, I said, you know, come on, you know, you're waves, you know, it takes a while to settle down, so they... Well, they get all dramatic, and then they'd end up laying on the floor. Shh. I go, and that's how Jesus wants the sea to stay. Don't move. Jesus said, peace, be still. Which worked for about 30 seconds. And then they'd be up. And I think we did that sermon 100 times that day. Which 100 times 30 seconds, that's still... 3,000 seconds of peace I got that morning. So so that's a very basic little sermon to preach from this chapter. Jesus is bigger than the storm. God's bigger than the storm. That Jesus has authority over the wind and the waves. That's a very simple sermon. Have any of you faced storms in recent days in your lives? Anybody? Raise your hand. Jesus is bigger than the storm. Okay, for some of you, you just said, awesome. That's all I need. I'll just go now. But for those of you who would like to hear more about the passage, we're going to move on a little deeper here. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is just the idea of getting into the boat in the first place. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. Whose idea is this? Jesus. It's important to note that the disciples were now in a life-threatening situation because they listened to Jesus. Yeah. See, if we look at the Gospel of Mark, we see that Jesus, Mark gives us a couple extra details in Mark 4. He says Jesus was already in the boat. So evidently there was a big enough crowd that this is one of the times where Jesus was teaching from the boat. And so then he said, okay, that's enough teaching. Let's go. Let's go to the other side of the lake. Mark also tells us that while he took off, there were other boats. So get this. The crowd is pressing in on Jesus so much that even when he says to his disciples, let's go, a bunch of the crowd starts getting in boats to follow him. So, I don't know, maybe Jesus really wanted to get free from the crowd. Need a little storm here, Lord. Send some of those people back to the other side of the lake. I'm trying to get, I don't know. But the point is that the whole idea for where they were going and why they were in the boat was Jesus' idea. And I just point this out to you because in this world, we have trouble. In this world, we face problems. We all have troubles. There's troubles in a sinful world. There's troubles with health. There's troubles in relationships. There's troubles in the economy, troubles in the workplace. No shortage of troubles. All God's children got troubles. Okay? Some of those troubles are my idea. And some of them are your idea. Sometimes I shouldn't have got in the boat in the first place. Because it wasn't Jesus' idea to go to the other side. It was my idea. In fact, sometimes there's been times where Jesus, I'm pretty sure, was on the shore saying, I don't think you want to get in the boat today. But I said, well, thanks for that advice, Lord, but I think I'll do my thing. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we're in storms that we're facing because of our not following Jesus. But the flip side of that is a very important thing for you to notice. Sometimes you're in a storm precisely because you're following Jesus. It's not in spite of following Jesus, it's because of following Jesus. You know, remember when you read this story, you're so used to seeing pictures of the disciples, you know, these paintings and things of all the disciples in a boat. Remember, you know, like, Matthew was a tax collector. I mean, I just think of Matthew going, I hate these boats. You know, until I started following Jesus, I never had to get in a boat. Now, thanks to these fishermen, every time we're going to go someplace, let's take a shortcut, let's get in a boat, you know. I mean, probably they weren't, some of them weren't even thrilled to be in a boat, but they were following because it was Jesus. I mean, even the experts like Peter, he was a fisherman. Peter might have looked off to the western sky when Jesus said, I have an idea, let's go across the lake. Let's go to the other side of the lake. Peter might have looked up to the western sky and thought, I don't know, this looks exactly like when we have a squall. But see, Peter himself had the experience. You know, one time Jesus said, Peter, have you been fishing all night? And he said, yes, and we've caught nothing. And Jesus said, throw your nets on the other side. And Peter's, can you imagine what he said in the boat? Yeah, just what I need, a rabbi telling me how to fish. And Peter actually says, this is really a loose paraphrase. It sounds dumb to me, but okay. That's kind of what he says. You know, we've been out here. We actually know what we're doing, Rabbi, but because you say so, we will do it. Peter had personal experience that sometimes Jesus knew more about the lake than he did, even though Peter was an expert. So whether they were not boat people at all or whether they were experts like Peter, the thing to note is it was Jesus that got them into this boat. It was Jesus that got them into this storm and into this problem. And so just at the outset, I would say maybe a worthwhile question, you know, when we're looking at the storms in our life, it might be worth asking ourselves, how did I get into this storm? Was it because I was following Jesus? Or was it because I wasn't listening to Jesus? Those are two very different things. Okay? Whose idea was it to get into the boat? Who are you following? But again, I remind you, in this case, they were in a storm and they were in danger and they were following Jesus. Okay? We look in, so this takes us to point two, getting into trouble. You know, sometimes the gospel is presented like this. The world's a terrible place. There's problems everywhere. Is your life miserable? Come in the boat with Jesus where everything's pretty and happy all the time. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by grace I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I mean, I don't fault that hymn. But if you confuse the gospel of following Jesus with now I am happy all the day, you don't have the Bible Jesus. Because the Bible Jesus leads you into trouble. I mean, in fact, there is one story, it's very central to the New Testament, where a man is in a stormy gale hanging on a cross, and he dies. So much for following a safe Jesus. Jesus says, follow me in the boat. Jesus says, follow me with your cross. Verse 23, it says, as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. You know, I read that story and go, how tired does a guy have to be to sleep through that? You know? Or maybe in your mind, Jesus is just going there, I'll pretend like I'm asleep and really freak these guys out. And it says he was sleeping. You know, the crowds have been pressing in on him. He was wiped out. Have you ever, anybody slept? Anybody awakened to find out that the alarm clock's been ringing for an hour and a half? Has that happened? Yeah? The back there? It's always a high school or college kid. Yes, just this morning. I remember that all the way to today. Yeah. Have you been so tired that you just wiped out? You know, like you woke up hours and hours later, and you can't believe what you slept through. In my life, the most profound experience of this was at the Sunshine Music Festival, which is a great time for kids and pure hell for sponsors. You know, find out if you're really ready for ministry. Bring your kids to Sunshine. You know, I mean, I guarantee you, it's going to storm. Your tents will be destroyed by the time you get back. You will be sunburned and miserable and smell terrible because there are not enough bathrooms. There's certainly not enough water for showers, you know. I mean, when you're in a crowd that's begging to be fire hosed, you know you're in the wrong place. And I remember one time when I was taking, I can't remember if it was college kids from the U or from another ministry, high school kids, but I remember one night standing, holding this tent, and it was a twofold job. One was to stop the tent from blowing into the field. So, and part of it was an anchor. The other part was to stop the tent from collapsing in, because it was pooling up with piles of rain, you know. And I remember looking down, I was sacrificial for these kids. I was giving my all for these kids. I mean, I'm the pastor, but just like Jesus washed the disciples' feet, I will hold the tent while you sleep, young ones. And as the water was dripping in through one of the vents, and this girl who is right down her head, right, you know, the entire floor of the tent is filled with bodies, okay? And there's this girl right down here, and a little drop, okay, it's pouring. A little drop drips down and hits her on the face. She opens her eyes and looks at me with total disgust and says, water's getting on me. And oh. Oh, man. Sorry. I didn't do it. I repented, but oh. And the next day I was a little tired, and there's one building on that whole shebang outfit they have out there with air conditioning. It's like a gym. And there were a few bleachers out. And I remember like at 8 in the morning after everybody had eaten and they were on their way to little concerts and stuff, I crawled under the bleachers into the dark of the nice, quiet, air-conditioned gym. And I woke up like at 5 in the afternoon. There's rock concerts going on the other side of the bleachers. No problem. I'm out, you know. When I read this story, I think Jesus must have been to Sunshine Festival. I'm with you, man. I get it. And they were in great danger. They were in what? In what? Great danger. That's no laughing matter. They thought they were going to die. And they were going, "Where's Jesus? He's sleeping. Wake him up, please. Master, we're going to drown." And in Mark's version of the gospel, Mark adds the phrase, "Don't you care about us? Don't you care about us, Jesus?" I just see Jesus opening up in his eye and go, yes, it's all about you. Dewey Roth told me that one time he heard a preacher preach on this, and the way the preacher, he heard tell the story, he said, and Jesus woke up and went, "Oh, peace be still. What's going on?" You know? So they were in danger. And this, as I wrestle with the text a little bit, I mean, they were really in danger. How can you blame these guys for calling out and being afraid? Would you be afraid? I'd be afraid. You know, and if I see Jesus and he's passed out in the storm, that's not doing anything but adding to my concern. You know, is he okay? Is he breathing? Wake him up. And as I look at the text and I think about their fear, one thing that comes to mind is that sometimes when you follow Jesus, you have a false expectation. You have it because that's how the gospel got sold to you. Sometimes the gospel gets sold like it's, you know, mouthwash or something. You know, like, use this mouthwash, everyone will like you, you'll have a new car, a better house, and you'll probably make more money. That's sometimes how the gospel is sold. Instead of like, you know, follow Jesus, take up your cross. Follow Jesus into the storm, maybe you'll drown. That's not how it's sold to us. And it makes me think as I read the story that sometimes, perhaps you like me, sometimes we're in danger of thinking, oh, I thought if I followed Jesus, that was the safe road. My expectation was that when I follow Jesus, things are supposed to go right. That's what everybody sings in the songs. You know, don't live in this world alone. It's a terrible place. Your life will be miserable. Invite Jesus into your boat. It's never stormy there. No, sometimes the boat Jesus invites you into is stormy. And you have to, right off the start of things, we have to say, this might be a dangerous trip with Jesus. Because sometimes I see people, they want to throw Jesus overboard because it's stormy. I didn't sign up for a stormy boat ride. Throw him overboard. No, our expectations are wrong. Yes, we're in danger. Yes, we're afraid. Yes, sometimes we find ourselves wondering, does Jesus even care? Have you ever wondered that? I have. Sometimes things are going really wrong, and I just think, what is the point of following Jesus? I thought it was supposed to cure all this stuff. Have you ever thought that? You see, that's getting a fantastical idea mixed up with the gospel. The gospel, Jesus never said, follow me, because that's the easy road. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, in this world you may die on a cross, but take heart, I have the power to raise you from the dead. In this world your boat may capsize, but take heart, I will get you to the port. I will get you to the other side. By the way, Jesus did not say, I have an idea, let's go drown in the lake. Jesus said, let's get to the other side. And as Christians, we have a hope that we are headed to something better. But we're going to stick with Jesus, even if it means drowning on the way there. Hello? Feel free to say amen at any moment. Anyway, if I am getting into the boat with Jesus and I'm getting into trouble with Jesus, then it makes me realize that what I really need to get into for safety is Jesus, I need to be wrapped up in Him, surrounded in Him. That's where my faith needs to be. Jesus gets up and He rebukes the wind and the raging waters. Notice that Jesus does not rebuke the disciples. You can't blame people that are being tossed around in a storm and afraid of drowning for being afraid. Those aren't holy people. Those are crazy comatose people. When your life is being capsized, of course you're afraid. Of course it's dangerous. But you're with Jesus. Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. And then He looks at His disciples. And maybe He looks at you and me and says, are you still afraid? Why? Why are you so afraid? Think about that. He didn't say, why are you afraid? Why are you so afraid? Do you think that there are things that it's fair to be afraid of in the world? Hello? Yes. Following Jesus doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means you're not so afraid. Because there's somebody bigger than the thing you're afraid of. There's somebody bigger than the storm. That's what Christian faith is. Christian faith is that even if I go down in the storm, I go down with Jesus. You know, Jesus was a man who lived by faith. I know many people, their concept of Jesus is just God with a man suit. God pretending to be a man. That's not the Jesus of the New Testament. The Jesus in the Gospels is tempted. He cries. He gets weary. Perhaps, dare I say, a little grumpy on occasion. You know, when He says stuff like, how long do I have to put up with you people? And those are His friends. You know, I mean, Jesus was like us in every way, tempted in every way as we are, but without sin. And you know how Jesus lived His life? He lived His life by faith. Do you think Jesus couldn't be afraid in a storm in a boat? Of course He could be afraid in a storm in a boat. I mean, I just think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, sweating great drops of blood. Oh, Lord, is there any way we can do this besides this? And Peter coming out, why are you so afraid, Jesus? You see, the thing is, it's not wrong to be afraid. It's wrong to forget that the object of your faith, the person of your faith, is bigger than the thing you're afraid of. Where's your faith, Jesus says. And then He does something. I mean, He's calmed the winds and the waves, and He's made this very important kingdom point. I am bigger than the storm. Now, did Jesus calm every storm? No. Did Jesus heal every sick person, raise every dead person? No. But He did enough to show us something very important. And that is that the kingdom of God, that the power of God is bigger than the storm we're in. Okay? And that's why the Christian perspective is one of hope. Jesus did enough to say, okay, you go down with the boat, you die, not the end of the story. There's resurrection. There's hope. And so when Jesus says, where's your faith? We might say, well, what do you mean, Jesus? Do you mean, does our faith disappear when we have a challenge? Well, that could be one way He's asking it, right? Because I've noticed, even in myself, and I say even because I've been working on this a long time, I would think I would start getting over this, but I still find myself, when the pressure's on and things are, I'm getting squeezed and I feel like I'm afraid I'm going to drown, sometimes my faith says, well, I think I'll just step out here. Faith goes away sometimes. Have you ever had that? I've noticed that when everybody's, you know, how's your life going? Great. It's great at work. Oh, the kids are great. Everything's great. Let's sing a praise song. I've noticed it's a little harder to sing a praise song when everything's going wrong. But I've seen faith do it. I've seen it right in this room. I've seen people lift their hands in prayer when the boat went down. So We want to make sure we don't have a faith that disappears in the face of trouble. But maybe Jesus is saying, are you putting your faith in the wrong place? You know, sometimes people put their faith in the oars or the boat or the fishermen that are supposed to know how to run this thing, right? Sometimes, even in church, our faith is misplaced. And so I wrote this little sentence down. Maybe it's not exactly right, but it's something that I'm trying to just sum up what I'm thinking about faith in this story. And it's this: faith is not an escape from danger. This story seems to indicate to me that following Jesus is not an escape from danger. Even believing in him is not an escape from danger. But rather, faith is what gives me strength to face danger. Faith is what gives me hope that I will overcome it. You know, Jesus called this age this present evil age. But he said, someday God is going to set all things to right. Right now there's corruption. One day there will be justice. Right now there's death. One day there will be only life. Now there is weeping. One day there will be no more tears. That's the Christian hope. Faith is our anchor in this present evil storm, that this storm is not the end of the story. And think about this, friends. There were people with Jesus in the boat. There were people in their own boats. And there were people on the shore. Which of those scenarios, which of those groups has a potential for danger? All of them. Do you know why I don't want to throw Jesus overboard in the storm? Do you know what that solves? Now I'm alone in the storm. Well done. You see, in this world, you will have trouble. According to Jesus, there's no escape, not even in his boat. But the Christian faith is one that says, I'm sticking with Jesus because I believe he's the one that comes out through the storm. I believe he's the one that raises from the dead. I believe he's the one that can sustain me and carry me, and I'd rather go down with him than go down alone. The Apostle Paul knew that. And when he was in jail and he wrote a letter to the Philippians, he didn't know if the officials were planning to kill him or if they were just going to set him free. And he said to the Philippians, as he wrote from this jail, wondering about his future, he said, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Do you hear the faith in there? He's saying, I hope I have the kind of courageous faith that I stick with Jesus, whether it's life or whether it's death, whether it's stormy or whether it's calm. Look at that phrase. Look at verse 20 up there on the screen. Is his concern his body? Is Paul worried about his body? Hello? No. Is he worried about life? No. Is he worried about death? No. What's he worried about? I hope I'm honoring Christ. I hope I'm following Christ. You know what I've noticed? Is most of the time when I'm whimpering and feeling sorry for myself, it has nothing to do with Jesus. I don't find myself over in the corner going, I just feel so bad because Christ isn't exalted. I'm not worried about Christ being exalted at all in that moment. I'm worried about me and my plans and my boat. You see, Paul learned the secret. When you get in Jesus' boat, you just say, hey, your plan, I'm good. I'm with you. I will ride this out no matter what. Storm, drown, death, whatever, I'm with you. And Paul said, whether by life or by death, I just hope I'm in Jesus' boat. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what? You don't fear so much dying to honor Christ when the life you're living is to honor Christ. And many of us, the life we're trying to save has nothing to do with Jesus. It's the life of our own ambition. It's the life of our own self-centeredness. It's the life of our plan, our idea. And you got to let that go if you're going to just be able to sleep in a storm. I think Jesus wasn't asking the disciples to do anything he wasn't doing. I think Jesus could sleep in a storm because he thought, well, if I die, I guess God's got a problem. When you start realizing that the things you're facing, the storms you're facing, ultimately, it's God's problem. Your job is to be faithful. You don't have authority over the situation. You better get a relationship with somebody who does. Let's pray. God, thank you for this text. And I pray, God, that something we've thought about and said has touched or recharged or motivated somebody here today to be willing to follow Jesus in a deeper and better way. Help us to be people of faith, God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord, be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do that, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around and find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.